This is interesting, Lee, in The Hill. Did you see this?
What's that?
John Solomon, the only mainstream media reporter doing any actual real reporting on what's going on with Mueller and all of this.
Right.
This is would be nuts if true. Just nuts. There's an email chain. Solomon's been writing about this for about a week now. There is an email chain out there among top-ranking Justice Department and FBI officials, one of whom is James Comey, the rest of whom we don't know. And in it, they are discussing how they don't really buy a lot of the stuff in the Steele dossier.
Right.
They have questions about the Steele dossier. They're not really sure about it. This email chain wouldn't be a big deal if it happened after they submitted it to the FISA court under penalty of perjury, that everything in it was true. Unfortunately, the email chain was written before they submitted the Steele dossier to the FISA court and signed the line that says, under penalty of perjury, everything in all this evidence is true. It's real.
That could be problematic.
Yeah. You know what that's called? I mean, like, if Republicans do it, so we can understand.
Yes. Yeah.
What that's called, if they were all Republicans, that would be called conspiracy to commit perjury. That's a felony.
Yeah.
I mean, just for what it's worth.
But then, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they actually did commit the felony of the perjury, it appears. So, yeah. So what would that mean? Both felonies would, just that alone, that evidence, that piece of evidence that Solomon is reporting on in The Hill today. The Hill, by the way, is a left-leaning publication.
Oh, yeah.
That would justify the impaneling of a grand jury, wouldn't it? I mean, it's wrong to perjure yourself. It's definitely wrong. Yeah, it's totally
for Michael
wrong.
Michael Flynn,
wrong.
You can't lie. And,
can't do that. He's a dead. They're bad men. Bad men. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the other guy's name that's got 2 weeks?
Papadopoulos.
Yeah, Papadopoulos.
Yeah. But that's if you lie to the FBI. Yeah. If the FBI lies to you or to Congress under oath or to the courts under penalty of perjury. Now, that does not count.
No.
Because they're better people than you are and smarter, too. Just ask Mazie Hieronimo.
Exactly.
She'll explain.
She'll explain it to you.
She will explain. You're just so much smarter, you can't hope to understand.
Mazie's got some splaining to do.
Yes, she does. This, while Mueller goes after Trump associates, think about this, for giving Congress incorrect dates for the end of a business deal that never happened and was not in itself a crime.
Just shaking my head.
Yeah, I know. But Mueller will get to the bottom of it, right? I mean, like, if you're Robert Mueller, your whole job is to get to the bottom of the alleged collusion. Like, you would probably start with, gosh, I don't know, the FISA application and the Russia investigation. I mean, if you're not going to look at the DNC server that was actually hacked and figure out who did it because you don't want to know. I mean, the next place you go would be the FISA application, right? You'd have to notice the perjury. Or maybe you're so busy looking for perjury on the part of Trump officials that you just don't get around to noticing the perjury. By the way, speaking of perjury, Jason Chaffetz just wrote this wonderful and blistering piece. He is former committee chairman, now a Fox News commentator, former congressmember, Republican. And he reminded me, and I had forgotten this, Lee. This is like a bombshell going off in my brain. 2012, right? It's 2012. Eric Holder is the head of the Department of Injustice.
Right.
And he is the only attorney general ever in American history to be found in contempt of Congress.
Right.
And this was because of lies he told Congress believed that Congress believed he perjured himself. And there was also evidence in, you know, because they were gun running over 2,000 guns to the cartels.
Fast and furious.
That's illegal, by the way, but nobody cares because they're Democrats. It's fast and furious, right? So then one of our border agents gets killed. Okay, so they have Holder before the Congress to testify on a whole number of things, right? And they believe that he has committed perjury, right? Just, you know about perjury, like Michael Cohen. And so when they found him in contempt of Congress, I didn't understand this at the time. I read this last night in Politico. I went back and looked at it. So this is a liberal source, Politico. They found him in criminal contempt of Congress. When you find somebody in criminal contempt of Congress, he's the only attorney general that this has ever happened to. Automatically, under federal law, a grand jury is impaneled to investigate you, right? Criminal contempt of Congress. So Congress finds him in criminal contempt. Okay, well, the impaneling of the jury, The getting the wheels in motion for that has to come from the DOJ. By law, they must do it. There's no discretion. You have to do it. They just didn't. They just didn't.
Yeah.
So I was looking at this lesson. I was thinking to myself, maybe I've been a little too cynical here. Like, I've long thought that Paul Ryan and the Republican leadership We're just fine to let these criminals and traitors to our country continue running the circus there. But, you know, if you look at 2012 and Congress votes Eric Holder in criminal contempt of Congress, by the way, including 17 Democrats who voted with the Republicans. So it was a bipartisan vote. If Congress votes that and then they just don't impanel the grand jury, do you want to expend political capital going after anyone again, knowing that the DOJ will just ignore you?
Yeah.
And that reminded me, Lee, I don't remember. Do you remember the Trump quote? I should have pulled it up for this. The Trump quote about Jeff Sessions, which to me was like a bombshell. But
which one?
But how Jeff Sessions went into the Department of Justice and he never took control over
it. Right, yeah.
And how the Democrats run the place.
Right.
He all but said it's a rogue agency. And I said at the time, is that because Sessions was weak or is it because it's impossible to take control of the Department of Justice, and no matter who he sends in there?
May well be the latter.
Yeah. So you look back to 2012, right? Obama's in office. Congress fines Holder in criminal contempt. Again, by federal law, they must impanel a grand jury. They have no choice. It's the law.
And they just don't do it.
They just don't do it. So why would you expend what they call on the Hill political capital? I used to work there.
Yeah.
Put a target on your back. To what? Fine Rod Rosenstein in contempt? James Comey? When nothing will happen. And then the deep state might turn all their intel apparatus on you. I mean, look, Kevin McCarthy was supposed to be speaker, not Paul Ryan. Do you know why Kevin McCarthy was not speaker and Paul Ryan was? Department of Homeland Security. Somebody in the building, we don't know who, leaked news of his affair with Renee Elmers.
Oops.
Whose husband did not appreciate the affair, by the way. She's no longer in Congress. He did not take that well. But he's no longer, I don't know about McCarthy's wife. But anyway, so he had to drop out because the deep state got him, right? So, I mean, they've seen this kind of stuff. And if it is impossible to take operational control of the DOJ, why would you bother?
You have a department without justice.
Yeah, so we call it the Department of Injustice. So this stuff's been going on since 2012. And now, I mean, we have emails. So it's going to be really interesting to see, okay, if they release, if Comey does indeed show up, right, the former head of the FBI, and he does in fact show up, and Comey has demanded that the transcript be released, right? Let's you and I watch this. Let's see. Do they ask about the only breaking story that matters in the Trump collusion saga, which is John Solomon's? They ask about the emails, which we know the intelligence committees have. We know Comey was on the email admitting the Steele dossier. They couldn't confirm it. Do they ask or do they not? We'll see how serious they are. Does anybody ask? It's really the only question that's super important right now. About, I mean, there are a lot of them, but that's huge. And we know the committees have the emails. I mean, it would show DOJ, they'd have DOJ and FBI leaders dead to rights conspiring to commit perjury, conspiring to commit a felony. I mean, it wouldn't be their first felony or anything.
So you would have actual evidence of a crime, mm-hmm. and we have no investigation, but yet we have no evidence of any crime, and we do have an investigation mm-hmm. with the president.
Yes, that's how it works now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah, pretty much. But to be honest, for the first time I saw this from Paul Ryan's point of view last night, thinking about this, Lee.
Well, there's a scary thought.
Yeah, it hurt. Okay. My head hurt afterward. I had taken aspirin. But yeah, I mean, why bother? I mean, honestly, if you're going to stick your neck out and all that's going to happen is the DOJ and the FBI, which are apparently now rogue agencies, are going to ignore the will of Congress, even when Congress says, you know, the law says you got to impanel a grand jury to investigate crimes. Why should you stick your neck out? Why bother?
Why bother?
I don't have a good answer to that question. Texter writes, northbound Pelham Road traffic is being routed on the Boiling Springs, and it's a major backup. So if you're in that area, be aware of that. Texter writes, why is Jennifer saying just a wintry mix on Sunday? I'm hearing all over the place that we're going to get 4 inches of snow. Well, we might. Or it could be sunny and 80. Anything could happen. I had to laugh, and I mean this in a good-natured way this morning, at the Greenville News reporting yesterday. You just keep this in mind in terms of global warming, okay? This is the headline. Forecasters predict potentially historic winter storm in and around the upstate this weekend. Oh, wow. I went, it could be historic. Yes, they note, or not. Well, I mean, anything this weekend could be historic. It hasn't happened yet. We don't know. And that's what they're saying. A potentially historic winter storm is rolling into the upstate this weekend. I went, wow. With forecasters now predicting as much as a foot of snow in northern Greenville County and parts of North Carolina. Greenville's weekend forecast depends on what a storm. This is what I love this line. Greenville's weekend forecast depends on what a storm 3,000 miles away does over the next few days. Let me translate. Dan, I got a clue. But it could mean freezing rain, sleet, or even snow. It's like that big hedge. It could mean freezing rain. It could be historic. Or it could be nothing. Or it could be cold. Or it could be sleet. Or it could be snow. Or it could be rain. Watch out! But they want to tell you they know the global warming. They know what the weather's going to be like 100 years from now. Sure they do. On Wednesday evening, forecast showed more snow and less ice than previously expected. Winter weather is expected to begin early Saturday evening and possibly linger into Monday. Or they note, it might not happen. Potentially historic. Or potentially not. Wouldn't that cover like 100% of the possible outcomes? So why read the weather report? I guess, I don't know. I've been doing this too long. I love how they hedge their bets so they can write the headline. I don't mean to pick on them alone. Everybody's doing this right now. So in answer to your question, I have no idea. I don't know. And nobody knows. You know what you love? Are your kids like this minor too? There is so much in this world they don't know. They don't know what's going around them most of the time. They don't know what's going on. They don't know. But let a weather report mention potential snow. And my first grader comes home. He knows all the details. And he knows what's going to happen before I even read about it. How'd you hear that, son? It's going around school. Yeah, figures. Texter writes, Tara, I'm so frustrated. How can we, the people, dig up the deep state and toss them in jail? I don't know. I know it's frustrating when I tell you the problem and I don't give you a solution. I don't have the solution. The only solution. Oh, here we go. Jim Acosta, CNN fake news. Jim Acosta says it's not a winter storm and it's 1,000 miles away. Well, there you go. If Jim Acosta said it, then it is true. And then we know. Texter writes, sunny today, moony tonight. I know. Well, how do you, what? Maybe not. That would be historic, wouldn't it? If there was no moon. Texter writes, the grocery suppliers of the Southeast control the weather reports. Another texter writes, better get some bread, milk, oh, and beer. L-O-L. Yeah. Okay. Meanwhile, I got to get into real quickly, what is just going on here? I mean, we have, this is a whole new level for the thugocracy. I mean, this FBI whistleblower, we now have people in the Daily Caller on the right and the left say, no. The FBI cannot raid the home of a whistleblower with evidence that the FBI may have committed crime. You don't get to do that. That's federal law. But yet they did. Take a listen.
Well, this is real.
Oh, by the way, this is Luke Rosiak, a investigative reporter with the Daily Caller. He says, well, this is really
a quadruple whammy. First, you have the implication, the indication that the Clintons violated the law in relation to their foundation and Uranium One. Second, you have the fact that the FBI apparently knew about that or had strong evidence and did not act on it. Thirdly, you have Robert Mueller was head of the FBI at the time that this occurred, which obviously suggests bias now in his current role as special counsel. Mm-hmm. And then fourth, you have the retaliation against the whistleblower. You have the cover up of the cover. So the FBI really has to now make this go away because it shows that they didn't act on stuff with the Clinton Foundation before. So the DOJ Inspector General, his job is to find wrongdoing by the FBI. And this guy had given the DOJ IG evidence. And so when the FBI now raids the guy that has evidence on potential misconduct by the FBI, that's classic whistleblower retaliation. And my colleague Richard Pollack, who broke this story, he has a new one up today where people on the right and the left are saying this is a really concerning abuse of the FBI's authority, clear whistleblower retaliation.
Who sent the FBI there to the home?
Well, the FBI presumably did the raid on their own, and they haven't, the judge hasn't disclosed the warrant. So the question is, did the FBI tell the judge that they knew this guy was a whistleblower, was a protected whistleblower, or was it kind of like when they were going after Trump's guys and they misled that FISA court to get the warrant? Because this guy followed the proper procedures.
Okay. The guy who got raided, there's video out there of his family members. And what they're saying is when, and I mean, I don't know, secondhand, okay, but it's just interesting that when the FBI, 16 FBI agents came in and raided the house, They said, hey, listen, he said, I've got whistleblower protection. They didn't know that. Now, again, this is just members of his family. I don't know if it's true. Take it with a grain of salt. But this is frightening stuff to watch this.
Gave the information to the IG, and there's a law that protects him in situations just like this. So when the FBI knocks on his door, that's pretty concerning
stuff.
So
the IG being Horowitz, who had all of this information.
Correct. And then Horowitz gave it to the Senate and House Intelligence Committees as well.
So then would he still have had evidence at his home?
I believe when they knocked on his door, he said, I do have a copy and here it is. So he was very forthright with the FBI when they showed up, and then they still searched his house. But interestingly, they didn't charge him.
Why do you think they didn't charge him? I mean, they might still charge him. I don't know. If they don't charge him, what do you think they just did? It's obvious. They wanted to see what else he's got. They've already got their hands. I mean, I'm sure the IG turned it right over to the FBI. They're all in league. They want to know what he's got. What does he have on them? So they just kick his door in. Violation of federal whistleblower protection. Sure, why not? When you can do whatever you want, you have a tremendous political advantage. Texter writes, Tara, everybody knows we have to make French toast when it snows. Duh, Jason. Well, of course. Texter writes, young lady, you will get snow in your backyard, truth be known. I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, so the Democrats have legalized voter fraud, which was brilliant of them. The GOP missed this entirely. And now in Maine, we have a candidate who did not win the most votes, who's going to Congress instead of the one who did win the most votes. You can't make this up, folks. We'll get to that. But first, as promised earlier, if you are a Christian, you might not, in employment situations, want to wear that on your sleeve. It's not my advice. It comes from the poll I'm looking at. You might not want to wear it on your sleeve because you don't know who you're talking to. If I wear it on your sleeve, I don't mean in an obnoxious way. I mean, you know, maybe post on social media. Employers check those things now when they hire. Because you don't know who you're talking to. Let me tell you why. New poll shows Hillary voters have a huge, or huge, as we now say it with a Y, bias in favor of Muslim employees over Christian employees. Wait, what? A new Grinnell College national poll, it's not a poll of the college, it's by the college, found Hillary voters are much more likely to offer Muslims their own space for prayer at work than they would Christian employees. Yeah, they report Christianity and Judaism are under assault and hit today in several countries. Not all of them are in the Middle East. I'd argue this is one of them. 68% of Democrats say employers should grant a request for prayer space by Muslims. 68%. But only 45% say employers should grant a similar request by Christian employees. This is unbelievable. I'm going to talk about where the anti-female bias is. Never mind. It's hopeless. Yeah. In contrast to the Democrats' 23-point anti-Christian bias in favor of Muslims, the November poll showed only a 10-point gap in response from conservatives. You know what this means? You know why this is? We are more tolerant. We always have been. It's just, yeah. 23-point anti-Christian biased when asked the same question. Should employer, think about that. It's almost 70% of Democrats say, oh, if a Muslim wants a prayer space at work, he should totally have it. What about a Christian? Oh, heck no. But you know what this, you know why this is? Okay, let me explain this to you, okay? This may seem hypocritical, but actually it makes logical sense. The Democrats' moral system is whoever votes for, liberals' moral system, whoever votes for them gets special favors. Laws don't apply, dual justice system, break all the laws you want, do whatever you want. This is why the Obama administration was on the side of those persecuting the Christian bakers. You didn't want to bake the cake, but they were against, this is why the Obama administration was against the Christian bakers in their court filings who didn't want to bake the cake, but they were with the Muslims. Remember the case? Some Muslim guys went and got a job at a beer delivery company. The company delivered beer in trucks. They're not allowed to be around beer. They turned right around after taking the job and sued the company for making them deliver beer. Violated their religion. Obama administration filed a brief on their behalf. What's the moral system there? There isn't one. It's bankrupt. It's whoever votes for us. Laws don't apply or different legal standards apply. That's what their moral standard is. It's pure power. There are no morals there. There's no pro-female, anti-female, pro-Islam, anti. It's if you vote for us, you're in like Flynn. It's the only moral system they have. And that's why it appears that they're being illogical, contradictory, but they're not. You're assuming they have the same moral system that you do. They don't. Their moral system is pure power. That's all it is. They worship power. Whatever brings power, they do it. Texter writes, can't read that. Liberals aren't tolerant. They're blanking stupid. Tara, say that on the air. Liberals are blanking stupid. I'm not going to say that. I'll lose the station license, what you actually wrote. Texter writes, Muslim beliefs are not concurrent with our Constitution and the rights protected by it. See, that's the other thing. Liberals don't believe that. I mean, they don't recognize the Constitution, most of them, unless it applies to them and they want their free speech rights. It's unbelievable. See, this is unbelievable, too. This is what election would look like if they used Common Core math. Are you ready for this? This is blowing my mind this morning. I mean, do you realize what the Democrats have done here? They wanted to commit voter fraud, but they kept getting busted. That's a problem. So in California and in Maine, and God knows where else that we haven't uncovered yet, they just legalized voter fraud. In Maine, they just legalized it so they wouldn't have to do it. In Maine, this is insane, okay? In Maine, the GOP congressional, because there's two congressional districts, and one of them, the GOP candidate won. Nobody disputes that. By 2,632 votes, won the election. But the Democrat is going to Congress. How could that be? Ah, well, there was a referendum in 2016 on the state ballot, and voters in Maine, they're liberal, adopted something called a rank voting system. Rank voting system. So what does that mean? Well, instead of voting for one candidate for Congress, you got four choices. Pick one, right? No. You rank them. There were four candidates, right? So the Republican came in first. The Democrat was 2,632 points behind him. Now, according to the rank voting system, if you don't get to 50% plus one, then they take the votes that went to the third and fourth candidate, not to you, to the third and fourth candidate, and they just redistribute them. Bernie Sanders style. Just redistribute them. Well, how do they know what the voter intended? I mean, they didn't vote for the first or second candidate. No, it doesn't matter. They take the vote. So here's what they did in Maine, okay? Oh, and by the way, here's how this works. Guess who writes the algorithm, the formula for the redistribution? The vendor, hired by the Democrat head of the Board of Elections in Maine. See how this works? Okay. So since no candidate in the race received the 50% plus one votes required to be declared the winner in the new rank voting law, Democrat Secretary of State Steve Dunlap used the Democrat outside vendor, which deployed its own algorithm, they just made it up, to allocate the combined 23,000 votes cast for the third place finisher, Bonds, and the fourth place finisher, Horde. Those are their last names. These are actual votes for two people. They just redistributed them. It's like taking the cards and packages. Here, have some. Here, hey, you have one. Wait. The voter didn't want number one or number two to get the vote. Too bad. So they wrote the algorithm, redistributed the additional votes. Bonds and Horde, the third and fourth place finishers, had 23,000 votes, redistributed them to the first and second place finisher. The Democrat got more, so he won. Well, says who the Democrat gets more? Well, says the guy who wrote the algorithm. He's a contractor hired by the Democrat head of the Board of Elections. So now it is whoever controls the Board of Elections gets to write the algorithm, and they determine who wins. So you know what? Don't even bother to vote if you live in Maine. I mean, honestly, just don't even bother. It's a waste of time. Don't get out of bed. The algorithm will determine what you meant. Well, it's all going away. All of it. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. The Little Mermaid. This is just what's just a casualty list in the last month. The Little Mermaid. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's got to go. It's just too offensive. Saw two offense. You can't wish for a white Christmas anymore. Even if you mean snow, it doesn't matter. Just snow is white and white is bad. And am I forgetting? I think there's one I'm forgetting. There's so many now I forget. Anyway, add this to the list. Candy canes. You're like, what? Candy cane? It's candy. No, it is an offensive religious relic. What? Oh, wait till the left gets a hold of this. They're going to do this all over the country. A principal has banned candy canes because the J shape stands for Jesus. And that's just for starters. Yeah, this is a Nebraska elementary school principal who banned a long list of Christmas-related items. No, wait, I looked up this thing about the Christmas, because I never knew that about candy canes. Apparently, it's not true. Candy cane originated in, well, it's kind of true. When it originated in Germany 250 years ago, they started out as straight white sugar sticks. There weren't even peppermint. There was no Jesus implication. But then eventually this is spread to other places and they ended up shaped like a J, like the shepherd's crook, to remind them of the shepherds that visited the baby Jesus. And then, I don't know, a lot of people tack stuff on, red stripes added, they were flavored with peppermint and wintergreen. Sometimes other Christian meanings are given to the parts of the canes. So some people say the J stands for Jesus. I don't know. The white of the cane represents the purity of Jesus Christ. Red stripes for the blood he shed when he died on the cross. The peppermint flavor can represent a hyssop plant that was used for purifying the Bible. But it's not how it started. But it could mean that to some people. Or it could not. Who knows? Anyway, she flipped out over it and banned them. Listen to this list. No Santas or Christmas items clip art on worksheets. Christmas trees in classrooms, there should be no Christmas tree anywhere, not even a Christmas tree outline. Elf on the shelf, that's Christmas related, gotta go. Singing Christmas cards, carols, playing Christmas music, sending a scholastic book that is a Christmas book, that's Christmas related, can't do that. Making a Christmas ornament as a gift. Problem with this is it assumes the family has a Christmas tree, which assumes they celebrate Christmas. She writes, this is the principal, I challenge the thought of, well, they can just hang it somewhere else. Candy cane got to go. That's Christmas related. She writes, historically, the J shape is for Jesus. Well, kind of. Not originally. The red is for the blood of Christ. I read that. Red and green items. Wow. No red and green items? These are traditional Christmas colors. What about the Islamic holidays? It's Ramadan? Is Ramadan green? I mean, can you use it for Ramadan? By the way, she issued no corresponding ruling related to Ramadan. I guess that's still okay. No reindeer, even if they're not decorated with Christmas themes, because it could offend somebody. Christmas movies, videos, or characters from Christmas movies, she says. Now here's what's acceptable. You replace the reindeer with the polar bear. You can use it. Penguins. Wait a minute. You can't use reindeer, but you can use polar bears and penguins? She says you may want to substitute a Yeti. Okay. Or Olaf from Frozen. She lists other things that are still acceptable. Listen to this. She writes, it's already happening. Snowmen, snow women, snow people, and snowflakes. See, that's going to be a problem. She should have just written snow people. Because that's, okay, gingerbread people. There she goes. Okay, so no gingerbread boys or girls, just gingerbread people. That's good. And listen to what else is accepted. Holidays around the world. Purposeful presentation of information to teach about different cultures, but not the Christian holiday. Just the other ones are permitted. Wait a minute. Stop. She's going to let, I'm reading from the list from this principal, Nebraska. So she's banned all things related to Christmas, even the reindeers. And you can't even have things that are red and green because that might offend. But you can, items that represent holidays around the world, purposeful presentation of information to teach about different cultures. Just not this one, I guess. Okay. By the way, Yetis are abominable snowmen. Snow people. Snow people. Sorry, snow people.